Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Strategies of Success. You probably know who our guest is already, but I want to hang on for 1 second with that. I have been asked, why is it that I'm focused on having nonprofits on a program where the main focus of this thing is to share 3 actionable ideas that a small business owner could use? And I'll tell you why. It's because there are a few things in life that you must do and must do well in order for you to run and be a part of a successful organization. One is you need to lead people. And the best way to lead people is to show that you care. And to show that you care is by understanding what they are going through. And I guarantee you, if you have a company with 10 employees, guaranteed that one, and I'm sure that number is going to be higher than that, have got a family member or a very, very close friend that is dealing with something that is more challenging than, quote, unquote, most people are going through. So with the various nonprofits I have over here, I'm hoping to increase your knowledge so you can become a better leader, a better business person. Your customers, many of us, I tend to think all of us, I don't care what it is that you sell or provide, but we're all in the service business. We serve our clients. Our clients are going through different things. And the more that you can understand what your clients are going through, the better salesperson. I know some of you might think that's an ugly word, but the better person that you are when you can provide the value to your customers. And then here's another little common factor. We're all human beings. We should care. We should care about our community. We should help where we can. And business people, I know we want to be part of our community, but just on a personal note, we should care about other people. And if this entire world cared more about this entire world, hey, perhaps it would be a better world overall. So who's our guest that's going to help this world become a better place altogether? There you go. How's that for a level of expectations you didn't expect? Priscilla Arena. She started Sassy, and she's got her own business besides, and she dedicates so much energy, effort, and time to this organization for a reason. And there is no better person that I know that can explain why she does what she does than her herself. Priscilla, thank you for taking the time to do this. Thank you for doing what you do and for informing the world and helping everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
It's all yours. You've got the next 27 minutes. Go.
You got it.
Well, no, but let me, do you do what you do? Why? What is the backstory here?
Okay, well, the backstory basically is that I have a child on the spectrum. He has what is termed as a high-functioning autism. It's called Asperger's syndrome. And myself, along with a fantastic, vivacious, genius woman named Stephanie Mendelson. She is my co-founder. We basically got together towards the latter part of last year, and we were just speaking, and we said, you know, there's hardly anything out here in Suffolk County. I mean, we can't possibly be the only ones. So we said, you know what? Let's start a little support group. So I'm proud to say that we had our first support group meeting. Approximately 12 parents in Stephanie's living room on December 4th of 2015. And since then, we have 643 members. Now, I want you to understand that nothing has been boosted. Like, there's no Facebook page that's been boosted. This is strictly through referral and word of mouth. So my initial instinct that there was a need, obviously, I guess I was correct. So that is the beginning backstory to this. SASE is short for Suffolk Asperger Autism Support and Information. And there's a whole bunch of things that SASE does. But for the most part, we aim to enrich the lives of ASD and special needs families through education advocacy as well as with emotional and financial support. I always say that autism is an invisible disability, and just like the children tend to feel alienated, isolated, alone, and misunderstood, so do the parents. So we strive to create an environment or a judgment-free arena where they feel accepted and understood.
You are right. By the need, that's there. And I didn't realize it grew so fast from that organic side of things. I know that, we're just talking, even just talking to folks about the fact that we were doing this program. It's, oh, yeah, I have also, and it's either a family member or a close friend, but it's not spoken about. And that's one of the things that I find to be, let's say, frustrating. And I'm also involved with an organization with a chronic disease. But it's just not spoken about altogether too much. So do you,
you
find with these support groups, I mean, it's a safe place to speak, for one, to share different issues that are going on. But it helps by bringing these things out in the open a little bit more. It helps the parents. But wouldn't it actually also help, the child, anybody who's on the spectrum too, for them to understand that, they're not alone? And there are other people going through this?
Well, I have to say, we have, especially in the older population, I say maybe like the older teens and the young adults, they've also joined as members for the organization. But I'll tell you a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit about what we actually do. So it breathes the idea of what we're about. So besides the monthly support group meetings, which I have to say we hold at Mather Hospital, in case anyone is interested, the last Fridays of every month, starts at 6:30. Along with those support group meetings, which I have to say, for a support group meeting, we have roughly 40 to 50 people that attend every meeting, and it just grows every month. We have a speaker that comes in that speaks to our parents. That might be advantageous to the group, whether it might be a Medicaid broker to help them navigate getting respite money, and maybe a lawyer that helps them plan wills and trusts, everything that's advantageous to the group. We also started to implement sibling support group meetings because everyone in the family is affected. And that, I have to say, is probably one of the most enlightening support group meetings that you can attend, because they understand and they know so much more. I think you talk about compassion. The siblings of these children are amazing. They're intelligent. They're very, very mature. Very, very mature. They have a sense of responsibility and duty to protect that sibling. And then they seem to understand what their parents are going through. It's really amazing. In addition to those things, I always say the magic sort of happens at those support group meetings. We have social events where parents and those children, whatever age they are, can come together every month. We pick a venue that is friendly to our community. Most times it is only to our group, so that the parents don't feel that they're being judged by other parents, and if their child has strange behaviors or meltdowns, that they're not being looked at in a strange way. We are in the process of comprising a Blue Pages, which is a tool for all autism parents on Long Island. We call it the Blue Pages, where it's going to be a resource handbook for our parents. We're working on a lending library. We've implemented a birthday club, because what people are unaware of is one of the largest components of autism is the social deficits. So they lack friends. You couldn't possibly, I know even for myself, I couldn't put together a birthday party for my son. Children, they're misunderstood, so they lack those friends that could attend their birthday party. So SASE has implemented a birthday club for that reason, and we send out birthday cards to those kids. And we're currently working on a job skills program, complete from resume to interview to job coaching, because the older population, although some of them are very high-functioning and quite brilliant at that, a staggering statistic is that 90% of these great, great older kids are either underemployed or unemployed. So we'd like to start changing that and the perception of businesses. There's a lot of advantages, believe it or not, to hiring somebody on the spectrum. I just don't think that the companies really understand our community and see where they could utilize these brilliant people.
Right. Well, so there's an awful lot going on over here. We'll stay on the business side of things.
Sure.
Yeah, I know of one company that did. I don't know if they still do, so I'm not going to mention name. But they had actually made a concerted effort to go out mm-hmm. and hire people with special needs. And it was a skill set that worked, for mm-hmm. what it was that they were doing. They were doing a lot of mailing things. So it was a lot of repetitive action, but it was also, a lot of it was paying attention to detail. And
yes.
that is something that's, right? I mean, from yes. someone who's somewhere on the spectrum, that meticulousness
mm-hmm.
on certain details is something that is common.
Yes. You'll find a lot of them are very, very much into computers or anything, let's say, research lab. They're excellent with numbers and math. I mean, they'll solve a math problem that you and I probably would just scratch our heads at, okay?
Yeah.
There really are some genius, people within our community. It's just that the social component, or they lack those social skills, so obviously their coworkers or maybe their employers are sort of misunderstood, misunderstand them. But, we're working to try and change that here, especially on Long Island.
Yeah, well, it does, take a special outreach and a company that's open to it. But I know the experience of that one particular company, was very good. And I actually, I had an opportunity to interview a company that was based in India, where it was like 80% of their employees had some special need or another. It wasn't totally on autism, but it was just anything across the board. And what was really, really beautiful about that whole thing is that they shared that with their customer base, and their customer base just loved the whole entire idea. And
it creates
everybody was thrilled with it. The work was great. It was just a terrific win for everybody across
everybody.
The board.
Everybody. Yeah, I completely understand and I agree with that. Especially, my community and these members, if you give them an opportunity, certainly if they had a choice to purchase, through a company that employed their own, they would certainly choose that company above another one. So, that's definitely something to think about. And just to bring it, in terms of, companies looking at how prevalent this actually is, I know maybe like 2 years ago, I think it was on the front pages of the newspapers, the numbers were some like, 1 in 68. Well, I have to tell you that the numbers are actually more like 1 in 50 at this point. I've even seen 1 in 45. So if you think about that, it's affecting approximately 2% of the population of this world globally. Of course, all various degrees of the spectrum, but that's a pretty large number of the population, I would think.
Yeah, it is. And especially if you're running a business, you're interacting with a lot of people, you're definitely going to run across it. And I can tell you, in conversations I've had, just off-the-cuff conversations, not going to a special community thing or anything like that, but there's no focus of who's there, you just hear it, quite frequently. I spoke to someone who's a photographer, I had mentioned yep. about we were doing these things. See, oh, yeah, I think it was a brother, on the spectrum. It was like, it's certainly much more prevalent than we can imagine. It really is it's a shame and it's a challenge. But I think the real shame here is not understanding the capabilities of different people and what they could and what they can do and where the whole thing could be made into the best possible scenario for all parties concerned. And as a parent, we always want the best for our kid and to see our child excel wherever that it may be and excel in a manner that's just to keep on going.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where I was going to go with that sentence there.
That's right.
But we want the best for him.
No, I know. And I think that, you know, it starts, quite frankly, it starts with understanding. You know, I often say that, you know, autism awareness are just words. You know, you have to, in order to be aware of something, you have to, you know, educate yourself on it. So if you would allow me to take just a few moments to sort of really, because every time I meet somebody who, let's say, isn't directly impacted with autism, they seem to think that they understand or know what autism is. And I find that when I start rattling off all these things, they're shaking their head. They're in disbelief. They had no idea. They always tell me they had no idea that it was that involved. And so if we could maybe educate a little bit of the population that's listening to this on what it actually is, I think that we can. That's a great starting point to implementation, like we discussed. How can we utilize these wonderful kids and young adults and integrate them into company or into a company?
Yeah, that'd
so,
be a great thing to do.
Yeah,
please, if you could.
The autism in general, because I've heard some really kooky things that I have to kind of laugh at. Someone has said to me, oh, you know, they did this and whatever, and they were cured. There is no such thing. There is no cure for autism. I don't care what is told or what is read. There are things that you can do to maybe treat certain conditions of autism, but there is no cure. It is a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by social impairments, restricted interests, and repetitious behaviors. So just like you were saying before about how this particular company was utilizing, you know, the more, you know, them in a capacity that was more repetitious, I'm going to tell you, they will excel at something, and they will not get bored doing it, by the way. They will do it for 20 years, but they will do it to perfection. Okay, that's kind of what they do. Autism is really a disorders under sort of one umbrella. I always call, if you could imagine, autism is a tree, and all these other things that I'm going to mention to you are sort of like the branches or the leaves of that particular tree. We term them as comorbid conditions, okay? And some of the more prevalent comorbid conditions, and I'm going to do a list, that I think people should sort of be aware of. Obviously, the ADHD component of it, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, severe anxieties. So now you understand that they have anxieties in social situations. ODD, oppositional defiance disorder, but I would have to say that this is more restrictive to the parents of these kids. OCD, which is actually 30% has a strong prevalence of OCD, including my son, to the point, when I say OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, it's on another level, probably than people are, you know, it's not just washing your hands per se. My son will clean his ears to the point where he'll puncture his eardrums and they bleed. That's, let's say, a comorbid condition that needs to be treated. Tourette syndrome, which obviously if people don't know, that's a lot of tics involved. Epilepsy and seizures. Let's see, sleep disorders. Sensory problems, which meaning touching, textures, whether they ate something, you know, the texture of a piece of food or the texture of clothing. It could be visual. It could be hearing. They're very sensitive a lot of times with their hearing. Sleep disorders. Trying to think. Now, here are some others that aren't necessarily as prevalent, but nonetheless will affect quite a bit of the population. We have Fragile X syndrome, which is basically affects their intellectual ability. That's more for the lower functioning, approximately 2 to 5%. We have tuberous sclerosis, which affects up to 4%. Those are benign tumors that are grown in the brain and the vital organs. And Rett syndrome, which is prevalent in girls, and that has to do with the loss of muscle tone or their uncoordinated gait or breathing, also affects seizures. I can go on and on, but these are the more prevalent ones, I would think, and forgive me if I didn't touch upon some others. But that's quite a host of things.
Really?
Under the umbrella of autism. I think when people think of autism, they always think of Rain Man, the movie.
You're right.
And yes, there are certain things about them. For example, when my son, they perseverate on certain things. So let's say when my son was younger, he perseverated on the time, which is a very common thing. And he would literally announce the time, and I would calculate it, and I would see how, like, the median amount of times within the time. So he would tell me approximately 11 times an hour, every hour, for over 2 years. That's enough to drive someone crazy, obviously, but I'm his mother, so I accept that and understand. But he is also fascinated with weather. Now, you would think a boy, you know, he's 9.5 years old, they like to play sports or soccer or whatever. That is that's a very common thread, believe it or not, that they're very fascinated with weather. I actually saw a PBS special, even when they get older. My son could sit there and watch the Weather Channel and tell you about all sorts of natural disasters. But he is a guru in that arena. So when they find something that they like or they latch on to, they will become truly an expert at it. So if from an employee perspective, that's what a company could look at. They can use that to their advantage, and obviously that would make the ASD person an excellent employee for them. So, again, it goes back to what you said about the repetitious behaviors.
Right. Yeah, the latching on to. So my perception, you know, from an outsider standpoint, although we do have an issue within our family, our extended family, you know, with that. But I was thinking it's more that social disorder, having a much tougher time communicating with people, being on, feeling insecure, you know, in different locations. If there's, you know, too much going on, where that becomes much more of an issue. So, yeah, and I'd like to think I know, but obviously there's quite a lot that you brought up in here that I don't know. So I personally appreciate that. The epilepsy was a surprise thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's because of the connection with the nerve.
Think about it, it's a neurodevelopmental disorder. So, you know, it affects the brain. That's why I said to people, you know, people say there's a cure. How do you, unless you're having, you know, surgery and a lobotomy, how are you going to take that part out of the brain? It's the way the brain has grown inside. That affects and makes this, you know, happen. So, and by the way, I have to just really quickly say that, you know, yes, I know that there's other non-for-profits and organizations, you know, they claim to do a lot of research, which, of course, I'm completely for, but I always tell people, but what do you do with the kids and the people that are already here? You know what I mean? Research is wonderful, but they need help, the ones that are already here. So that's what SASE does. SASE really concentrates on that population. However, we have partnered with people like Matt Lerner at the Lerner Lab in their research studies. Stony Brook Hospital has an autism center now. The Cody Center is gone. They have an autism center, and they're really making a push to, you know, make a difference in the autism community. So we've aligned with them to do some research studies. But, again, more along the lines of with the kids that are already here. One of the things before, I just to say that it's this is something that has – there's certain things that you as a parent read and that sort of stick with you and sort of propel you going forward. And one of the reasons I'm very passionate about this is that I always say, or I said before, being or feeling alienated, isolated, and alone, and misunderstood, and so, you know, just like the children. one of the most prevalent conditions, and I have to say I've almost seen it across, where I've heard from almost all parents, is depression. Now, the depression is brought on mainly because they feel those social deficits and they feel misunderstood and they don't have those friends. They have a want and a desire to have everything you and I have, but they don't know how to get there. So the depression aspect feeds into some really, really staggering statistics. Now, this is going to kind of blow your head off a little bit, but that 14% of the population of ASD, okay, that's up to 28 times, okay, has either idealized or attempted suicide. 28 times more prevalent. If the socioeconomics of that family are, you know, lower, it, you know, the inclination to do it is higher, okay? Not just that, but in the autism population, we have what's called elopers, okay? And that is they kind of wander off, okay? So I don't know if anybody's, you know, read or the paper or, you know, seen on TV where, you know, whatever the age of the child is, they kind of, unfortunately, it's like they have to be locked under lock and key. They have to be on constant watch. I'm talking about probably more the lower functioning ones, although
right.
It does happen in higher functioning, where they just sort of wander off. And unfortunately, you know, they may wander into a lake or an ocean. We've been working actually with somebody to get some kind of GPS devices for those children. That's another issue within our community. But the average life expectancy, because of some of those things, and obviously, let's say, the seizure aspect, that the life expectancy within the autism community could be up to 8, on an average, they will die 18 years younger than the average. And if they have mental deficits, that number again will climb to somewhere around 30 years less.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely all sobering statistics.
Yeah, there's a lot to sort of take in and learn a lot, you know, about this community. But we, as impassioned mothers, obviously want to see better statistics. We want to increase the chances and the future for our children. There's lots to learn. You know, it's like anything else. And I kind of look at that as you ever hear about when someone gets very, very ill, you know, if they have a will to live, right?
Yeah.
If they're battling something that's severe. Well, when you're in a positive frame of mind, I really believe that you can battle those things. It's mind over matter, right? Well, if you don't feel that way, then it's more difficult to battle those things. So we that's what we want to do. We want to create a community where everyone is accepted and there's a lot less depression, and they do make connections with peers, people of the like mind, you know. So that's kind of what Sassy strives to do.
Which I think is great. And Priscilla, we only have about a minute left. Over here, I totally appreciate you coming on over here. So, you know, under the whole thing of, you know, those actionable ideas, you certainly seem to be doing a lot. So for those that are affected, their family members affected, their siblings are affected, these support groups are certainly something they should be looking to attend. And you mentioned they're on Fridays over at Mather Hospital. So we'll make sure that all of that stuff gets shared. The other side is, you know, the skill sets, you know, in the business community.
Mm-hmm.
How can we get that information out, you know, a little bit more? You know,
right?
How can we help? Well, you know, we do that. That seems to be. I'm not sure exactly how to do that, except for the one-on-one interviews. But
well, Obviously, you and I saw each other at a large business networking event recently, so that is one way. So I always say I'm sort of boots on the ground. I get my hands dirty. I get out there, and I'm having face-to-face with people very often, and that's kind of how I do it. It's one step at a time. You know, that's what I strive to do, and I want to make a difference, obviously. I just really briefly, if anybody is interested in Sassy, we do have a website, www.sassyny.org, and they will direct you how to join the Facebook page or how to email us. So,
okay. Yeah, and I'll be sure to share that out with everybody, you know, that, that's listening to this and then and beyond too. You know, I certainly want to help in any which way that I can to help you. There are tremendous resources that are available, you know, for different levels of this. It's great that you're doing that, you know, day-to-day kind of thing, you know, with everybody, because that really is so important. And maybe that'll help out with a lot of these other things, you know, the depression side of it, the unemployment, 90%. I mean, that's kind of crazy, you know, especially coming, understanding that, you know, there are really unique skill sets here that are totally usable by so many different people. And it's just a matter of getting that information out to everybody. So, you know, whatever I could do to help out in that respect, love to do.
Thank you, Brian. I can't thank you enough for having me on today and letting me share a little bit about us. And hopefully you and I will make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you can thank me in one respect. Come back on again.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
whole multitude of questions, you know, to get a chance to, you know, on this program, but be happy to do it.
No,
and, you know, we can
fine.
Even
that's...
share some of that conversation out on Facebook and LinkedIn or whatever. Just where we can
All
join
right, awesome.
In, it'll be good. Help to promote.
Awesome.
You got it.
All right,
hey, thank
you
so much for doing what you do.
Fabulous things. Thank you.
It's just good. And I, you know what I mentioned in the beginning about, you know, making this world a better place, man, we just have to understand more of what everybody's going through and care about what everybody's going through. And that really, truly will make a difference. As you mentioned, you know, that one step at a time as to what you're doing. Well, it is the one step at a time to make the whole thing happen. And, you know, we need to do it. And I think it's a we local needs to start someplace. So that's where that's at.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks again. We'll certainly stay in tune with the whole thing, and I do appreciate you taking the time here today.
Thank you again.
All right.
Have a great day.
Folks, you too. Folks, I mean, there are so many resources out there, and our family had gone through a couple of different things, and that feeling alone thing is probably one of the greatest motivators on my side, because we did feel alone in one of our situations, and it is not a good feeling. It's just flat out not a good feeling. And then we found the organizations that we need. Find the organizations that you need, because you are not alone. Without a doubt, there are hundreds of people, thousands of people, and sometimes it's a growing population, which is a whole other topic as to why that is. But there are organizations out there that care, that want to help you, and you should find them. You should know about them. And take that step, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Make it happen for yourself, and then, hey, who knows? Maybe at some point in time you'll become another Priscilla where you're out there and you're doing your part of helping others getting through, you know, their issues and what they need to overcome. Thanks for joining us. Share this program. Share the information about Sassy, and it's www.sassyny.com, and let everybody know that there are resources that are available for, I'm sorry, .org, that there are resources available for everybody. My name is Brian Cohen. This has been another Strategies of Success radio program. Enjoy, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.